Title of our message today is Separation of Church and Hate. And this is a brand new sermon. This message is dedicated to our Christian Israel mothers, wherever they may be, being that today is Mother's Day, May 9th, 2010. Motherhood has been under attack for a long time by the enemies of Christ. I hope and pray that this message will be a comfort and a beacon of light for mothers who know better than anybody else that their noble stature and esteemed honor has been undermined and usurped. May our mothers once again return to the position that God elevated them to. Well, after church a few weeks ago, we went to a restaurant, and in the parking lot, we saw a bumper sticker that said, "Separation of Church and Hate," in the rainbow colors of Sodom and Gomorrah. All that was missing was the pink triangles. Well, these two ancient cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, in comparison to modern San Francisco and Washington, D.C., District of Corruption, I got the feeling that this bumper sticker was directed against folks like us, who the radical leftists like to label as hate groups. Probably the same kind of degenerates that whine about separation of church and state, which is a euphemism to remove God from government. And evidently, they don't like the idea of churches being in opposition to their sexual orientations, which is a euphemism for aberrant perversions and immoral lifestyles. They don't want God's laws imposed upon our nation. And yet, this tiny minority wants to impose their legislation upon us. Hate crime laws do not pertain to anyone except white Christians. A bumper sticker like this, "Separation of Church and Hate," is very telling of the kind of society that we've become. You can walk into almost any church today and hear the refrain that denounces hate and says, "God loves everybody." It's as if God has gone through a metamorphosis of once condemning what he himself called abominations, and now gives divine sanction and unconditional love to. Well, let's read the Bible. "If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Leviticus 20:13. But wait a minute. Didn't Jesus say, "Don't think that I came to destroy the law"? How many other sins that deserve the death penalty get the royal treatment to publicly have their own parade and call it pride? Do we see killer's pride or rapist pride parades? It seems to me that there already is a separation of church and hate. There's only a remnant church, as Pastor Elmore just mentioned, that hates the sin and the sinner, that hates sodomy and sodomites. You know, this is such a distasteful and unsettling subject because it goes so contrary to the very laws of nature and normal behavior that your emasculated preachers will not address this problem. But its effects are just as destructive as drugs and rock and roll. The enemy knows how to hypnotically paralyze a culture with the gradualism of enticements. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. James 1:14. Drawn away from what? Drawn away from his God-given responsibility to oppose abominations. Drawn away from executing the laws of God. Drawn away from hate. A God-fearing people is a cultural reverence for their Creator. Have our people forgotten or been misled that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to hate pride, to hate arrogancy? Is it not arrogant to change an abomination into a virtue? What are we supposed to do with 2 Chronicles 19:2? Just throw it out the window? It says that wrath, God's judgment, will be upon us if we help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord. Well, let's put this on a church bulletin board. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So, conversely, the hatred of God is to not keep his commandments. Does that make any sense? Do homosexuals hate God? You know they hate Jesus Christ and every Christian who refuses to help them and the ungodly. Hey, what about a bumper sticker that says separation of church and reprobates? We recently talked about the deification of man and how the truth of God was changed into a lie. Romans 1:26 goes on to say, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even the woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature." What can this be but the lesbian dogma of feminism, which in modern times has been promoted by the Antichrist matriarchy of Judaism? God addresses these ungodly mentalities to the end of the chapter, verses 27 through 32. Well, what's at stake if the American church continues its communion with unrepentant lust? I dare say it whores after strange gods and will reap what it sows. Go ahead. Let them pass and bring on the hate crime laws and witness your Bibles on trial. In Canada, hate crime prosecution does not take into account the truth. We heard this at trial of Ernst Zundel, who spent 5 years in prison for questioning the Holy Holocaust. The only thing that matters in Canada is the feelings of the homosexual. If a queer feels intimidated by public criticism, he can file criminal charges. If a Christian is found guilty of hurting the feelings of a deviant pervert, he can face a fine of $100,000. And if the criticism persists, he can face several years in prison. Well, just earlier this week, the Daily Telegraph A leading newspaper in England carried this headline: Christian preacher arrested for saying homosexuality is a sin. Let me share with you the article. Dale McAlpine was charged with causing, quote, harassment, alarm, or distress after a homosexual police community support officer, the PCSO, which I think should be the politically correct socialist officer, overheard him reciting a number of sins referred to in the Bible, including blasphemy, drunkenness, and same-sex relationships. The 42-year-old Baptist, who has preached Christianity in Workington, Cumbria for years, said he did not mention homosexuality while delivering the sermon from the top of a stepladder, but admitted telling a passing shopper that he believed it went against the Word of God. Well, police officers are alleging that he made the remarks in a loud enough voice to be overheard by others and have charged him with using abusive or insulting language contrary to the Public Order Act. Mr. McAlpine, who was taken to the police station in the back of a marked van and locked in a cell for 7 hours on April 20th, said the incident was among the worst experiences of his life. I felt deeply shocked and humiliated that I had been arrested in my own town and treated like a common criminal in front of people I knew. My freedom was taken away on the hearsay of someone who disliked what I said, and I was charged under a law that doesn't apply. Christian campaigners have expressed alarm that the Public Order Act, introduced in 1986 to tackle violent rioters and football hooligans, is being urged or used to curb religious free speech. Sam Webster, a solicitor advocate for the Christian Institute, which is supporting McAlpine, said that it is not a crime to express the belief that homosexual conduct is a sin. The police have a duty to maintain public order, but they also have a duty to defend the lawful speech of citizens, he said. Case law has ruled that the Orthodox Christian belief that homosexual conduct is sinful is a belief worthy of respect in a democratic society. McAlpine was handing out leaflets explaining the Ten Commandments or offering a ticket to heaven, which is a church colleague with a church colleague on April 20th, when a woman came up and engaged him in a debate about his faith. Well, during the exchange, he says he quietly listed homosexual among a number of sins referred to in 1 Corinthians, including blasphemy, fornication, adultery, and drunkenness. After the woman walked away, she was approached by a PCSO who spoke with her briefly and then walked over to Mr. McAlpine and told him a complaint had been made and that he could be arrested for using racist or homophobic language. The street preacher said he told the officer, "I am not a homophobic, but sometimes I do say that the Bible says homosexuality is a crime against the Creator." He claims that the officer then said he was a homosexual and identified himself as the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender liaison officer for Cumbria Police. And Mr. McAlpine said, "It's still a sin." The preacher then began a 20-minute sermon in which he says he mentioned drunkenness and adultery, but not homosexuality. Three regular uniformed police officers arrived during the address, arresting McAlpine and put him in the back of a police van. At the station, he was told to empty his pockets. Cell phone, belt, and shoes were confiscated. Police took fingerprints, a palm print, a retina scan, and a DNA swab. You got to do that with these hardened criminals. He was later interviewed under Section 5 of the Public Order Act and released on bail on the condition that he did not preach in public again. Mr. McAlpine pleaded not guilty at a preliminary hearing on Friday at Workingham Magistrates Court and is now awaiting a trial date. The Public Order Act, which outlaws the unreasonable use of abusive language, is likely to cause distress, has been used to arrest religious people in a number of similar cases. Cumbria police said last night that no one was available and charged to comment on the McAlpine case. In other words, the Orwellian Thought Police spokespersons had gone home for the day to their same-sex partners. It's extremely... I got this news story along with some other more well-known news stories this last week, and rather unusual parallels running side by side. It's extremely ironic that that arrest in England occurred on April 20th. You know what happened on April 20th? The same day of the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, 42 miles off the coast of Louisiana, in the midst of 42 oil drilling rigs where 42 gallons is one barrel of oil. Dale McAlpine was 42. Was this incident taking on some kind of prophetic significance? 42 is a number associated with the time of Jacob's trouble. This is a time that is troubling the white race. That is Jacob Israel. Jacob himself had twice experienced troubling times, each 21 years, totaling 42. This number signifies both tribulation in Revelation 13:5 and the coming of Christ in Matthew 1:17. Well, what does this oil spill mean? Isn't there a contrast between oils in the Bible, between crude oil and olive oil? The first, black gold, is a counterfeit sign of anointing. The super rich finance and own the apostate church. The Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, they own TBN, John Hagee, and all the other apostate preachers and ministries. The Babylonian economy is based on so-called fossil fuels. Olive oil is associated with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 34:8-9 is a word picture of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and Edom. But it also seems to describe the oil spill going on right now in the Gulf of Mexico. And by the way, in 1942, during World War II, there were 42 ships sunk in the Gulf of Mexico. So let's read these verses in Isaiah. For my sword, this is God speaking, shall descend for judgment upon Edom, who we know today as the Jews, the people whom I have devoted to destruction. For the Lord has a great slaughter in the land of Edom. For the Lord has a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. Let me stop right there. I'd certainly say we have a controversy about Zionism and Zionists. those Jews who call themselves that today. There's a year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. It's streams. What's this mean, streams? Could this be the Gulf Stream? Shall be turned to pitch. Pitch is oil tar. And yes, they had it back then in ancient times, but they didn't get super rich from it, and they didn't have any cars. And it's loose earth into brimstone. And its land shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night or day. Its smoke shall go up forever. From generation to generation, it shall be desolate. End quote. I think this may be a double prophecy of Zionism, in that Edom was conquered and absorbed into Jewry, the bad figs of mongrelized Judah. They have established their world headquarters in Jerusalem. And the Jewish crime syndicate, Goldman Sachs, a man with sacks of gold, knew what was going to happen on May 20th, the day before the oil spill. They made a substantial financial bet against offshore oil in the Gulf of Mexico. Can you believe that? Investigators, not only that, listen to this. Investigators revealed an employee's email that said, quote, one oil rig goes down and we're going to be rolling in dough. Suck it, fishies and birdies, end quote. Wall Street is just a glorified gambling casino run by the Jewish mafia. The connection between the British minister preaching against sodomy and British Petroleum, the debacle of filth and death, points to the age-old conflict between Jacob Israel and Esau Edom, and is, I believe, a precursor to the powder keg in the Middle East, bringing us ever closer, not to the misnomer of a battle of Armageddon, there's no such expression of that in the Bible, but to the kingdom of God itself. The oil spill is telling us there is a counterfeit among the shepherds of Israel who abused the true children of Israel. This priesthood of Sodom is not just the Church of Rome, but every church claiming Christian Zionism. God does not love Baal worship. The spiritual warfare is there for all of those who have eyes to see. And we can help them come out of this beast if they have the ears to hear us. Well, I'd like to know, who is this commie Pinko that invented the word homophobia? Probably the same think tank that came up with the word gay. But the sons of God do not fear perverts. And there isn't anything happy about perversion. I think we can easily trace the war against Christian hate, which is just as much about love when you consider there's a time for both, according to Ecclesiastes, by looking at the relationship between Judaism and homosexuality, which rejects God's law. That is, the moral judgments against the sin of sodomy and effeminate behavior. Now, Jewish authorities proclaim it is no longer an abomination. It is not a mental illness or social deviancy. It is not a perversion of the natural order. It is not a choice or preference. And is not something that one decides to do or abstain from doing. They say it's no different than heterosexuality, and it's just the way one is. They therefore rationalize that it makes no sense to discriminate based on who or what they are. A major rabbinical organization has affirmed the Jewish validity of same-gender relationships and encourages those who are so inclined. However, the truth is that Jews advocate an evil inclination. Rabbi Jeffrey Dennis of Hebrew Union College, America's oldest Jewish seminary, is of the mind that the evil inclination is for the ultimate good of humanity. He teaches that were it not for the evil inclination, nothing would get accomplished in this world. Rabbi Dennis says, quote, "Another such harsh but necessary force in God's creation is the Yetzer Hara, which is variously translated as the evil impulse, the evil desire, the selfish desire, or just desire. It is the aspect of nature, but especially human nature, which drives us to compete, to fight, to possess, but most of all to desire sexual gratification. So the goal of the spiritual person is not to destroy the selfish sexual evil impulse," end quote. There is so much wrong with this statement that can only confirm Jewry's goal to circumvent the law of God and to call good evil and evil good. But it's sublimated in such a way as to justify and accord with God's purposes. Well, there is no accord. This is the warped audacity of glorifying an abomination. There is no accord with righteousness and unrighteousness. You can read just about any book in the Bible and observe this conflict between the Spirit of God and the flesh of man. The presumption and Jewish lie is that God created man with the potential to choose evil, and God called his creation very good. And so by nature, we are bound to exercise the characteristics programmed within us. What the Jew doesn't tell you is that we also have the innate desire to choose good. And this differentiates us from the rest of the animal kingdom. We have the choice to either believe God or the Jew who likes to play God with people's lives. Well, here's my Christian logic. If Jews had it their way and everybody was homosexual, then our race would not be able to propagate the species. Unless the Jews ran hatcheries of clones, which, by the way, happens to be a favorite theme of Jewish science fiction writers. However, even a little bit of homosexual leaven will poison the cultural integrity of our society. Only a zero tolerance will preserve Western civilization. Homosexuals cannot reproduce, so they must recruit in order to maintain the inertia of a gay movement to sell separation of church and hate bumper stickers. How do they recruit? Well, just ask a Catholic priest. The homosexual is a predator of children. That is, a pedophile. The Talmud gives a green light and a thumbs up by nullifying the Mosaic ban on same sex with mankind, teaching that the immature boy is not a man, and hence there is no guilt for raping them. Jews still consider those who wrote the Talmud, the Pharisees, to be the greatest messengers of light that they will ever know. So much so that even God must go along with their decisions. Jesus Christ, in his diatribes against the founders of Judaism, accused them of all uncleanness. By all, he most likely implied pedophilia, and even then was endorsed and practiced by sexual perverts within the faction of the Pharisees. The Jewish religion is hardly a bastion of family values when their religious teachings are steeped in the vilest deprivations imaginable. They are the world's greatest purveyors of immorality, and they're doing everything they can to destroy Christian civilization, even if it means using their own children to become the gay shock troops, degenerate celebrities, and glorified prostitutes, including media whores, to further their goals. The ADL is a militant communist front organization that is the battering ram to get in our face and rub our collective nose in their filth. They know the fast track towards cultural collapse is through homosexuality. When are the churches going to put two and two together and stop this madness? Oh yeah, you can't do that in an Orwellian society. Things aren't supposed to add up. The sheeple must not hate those who rape their children. The Jewish butcher and Bolshevik maniac by the name of Bela Kun, after conquering Hungary in the 1917 Russian Revolution, force-fed homosexuality into the curriculum of public education, transforming Hungary's youth into moral degenerates. And the same thing is happening today as the ADL promotes an evil inclination to sin, starting in kindergartens. Well, several years ago, through Barnes & Noble bookstores, the ADL promoted homosexuality through their No Place for Hate program. It encouraged families visiting bookstores to invite homosexual couples to their home for an evening. This would teach kids, as the ADL suggested, that there's no truth in the Christian judgments against sodomy. Gays, the ADL says, are some of the nicest, most non-threatening folks your kids will ever get to know. In all major cities, the ADL indoctrinates city governments, schools, libraries, liberal churches, and police departments that biblical Christians are filled with a psychotic disorder known as homophobia, fueled by hate. Well, if the wages of sin is death, and our enemy has a campaign to motivate us to transgress the law of our God, then they might as well point a gun at our head and pull the trigger. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Romans 8:35. That's how they regard us. They derisively call us goyim, which means chattel or animals, and we're expendable. So, is it wrong to hate your own execution? Do you like paying for your own destruction? Would you dig your own grave? Rabbinic Jews and white degenerates want more than separation of church and hate. They want a new world order church that hates you, hates Jesus Christ, and hates the kingdom of God. The only thing that stands in their way is us. So-called hate groups that love their Lord and Savior. 2,000 years ago, Christ likened Jerusalem to Sodom and Egypt. Sodom is symbolic of homosexuality. Judaism's false messiah is the Jewish people themselves, and are and have been the Antichrist. There are some churches that have separated themselves from the hate and aligned themselves with interfaith councils of tolerance and peaceful cooperation, loving those who hate the Lord. They are tolerant of wickedness and at peace with evil. They are the great apostasy, which has fallen away from the righteousness of God's word. Jesus said, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division." Christ demands that the sheep separate themselves, not from hate, but from the goats that hate him. It's dangerous to be right when you're a follower of Jesus. When he said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues." Who are we in the midst of today? Ezekiel 21:25 calls it the profane, wicked prince of Israel. And Daniel 11:37 describes these wolves thusly: "Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women." Queers have been around for a long time and will continue to flaunt their proclivities until Sodom and Egypt of the future, like their ancient predecessors, will be desolated by fire. God still has kings and priests within Israel, a Melchizedek priesthood of warrior kings who have a divine calling to hate the great whore that sits upon many waters and shall make her desolate and burn her with fire. God said in Ezekiel 21:31, "I will pour out my indignation upon thee. I will blow against thee in the fire of my wrath and deliver thee into the hand of brutish men who are skilled to destroy. Thou shalt be for fuel to the fire. Thy blood shall be in the midst of the land. There shalt be no more remembered, for I, the Lord, have spoken it." What did the law in Leviticus say? "Their blood shall be upon them." We are living in a time where there are registered sex offenders everywhere. There's a website where you can type in your zip code and there's all these dots on the map. It's incredible. The Antichrist Jews run the major media cartels and offensive characters run amok with impunity. But in spite of the unspeakable wickedness of liberal Jew R-rated worldliness, Christ is raising up a purposeful remnant of God-fearing white Christians who will raise up the standard against Sodom, and not one soldier will quit for fear of the Jews. Most Christians know that those who rejected and crucified Christ would have his blood on them and their children forever, if they don't read and believe. What they don't comprehend, however, is the abysmal depth and darkness that taints their mongrel blood and corrupt souls. They are as unredeemable as Sodom and Gomorrah in this modern age, twice the child of hell as their forebears. Whenever God says, "Thou shalt not," he's protecting us from punishment. There's two forms of punishment. The first is restitution, and it's remedial for our correction. The second is death, because restitution is not possible. why would God punish homosexuals with death? Well, how do you undo the trauma of child rape? Homosexuality is a public health hazard, a disease waiting to happen that kills the body, mind, and spirit. It is anathema to the traditional nuclear family unit, which God established between Adam and Eve and all subsequent generations. There is no restitution for the consequences of sodomy, any more than a murderer bringing back to life a victim of murder. Because of the immoral and reprobate nature of homosexuality, it is a form of insanity, which in turn becomes adversarial to a normal, healthy society. They have, in essence, declared war on heterosexuals. In 1973, they bullied the American Psychological Association into proclaiming homosexuality normal. Together with feminists, led primarily by Jewish females, they began to dismantle all institutions of masculinity, femininity, marriage, the family, the Boy Scouts, sports, the military, schools, and our cultural heritage. They are responsible for the obsession with pornography and pervasive obscenities, which historically leads to decadence and societal collapse. Most homosexuals have an inflated ego, overly concerned about their appearance, their home, and possessions, thus an imbalance towards materialism eclipsing any spiritual development, self-absorbed, and a reluctance towards commitments, fun and partying, use of drugs and alcohol to escape the reality of their depravities and worthlessness. Ironically, this is the masculine ideal promulgated by Playboy magazine to men since the 1950s. Real men act as God's agents by creating and supporting new life brought into the world. The family is the cornerstone of life. The devastation from Playboy and its Jewish publisher, Hugh Hefner, is incalculable to men, women, children, and society. The similarity between Playboy and the gay agenda is no coincidence. There are two things that paved the way for changing motherhood and manhood in America, and they both happened in 1948. The first was the Declaration of Jews proclaiming Palestine as the new modern state of Israel after years of terrorism and conspiracy. The second was the Kinsey Report on sexual behavior, which caused an immediate shock and outrage for putting a scientific label on taboo subjects. Many charged Kinsey himself with perversions because much of the data could not have been obtained without child molesters and child molestation. Kinsey was himself a homosexual and a pedophile, and yet his report somehow became the mainstream manifesto of the counterculture and sexual revolution being led by God's chosen people who just survived a Holocaust and now had their own homeland, which should garner unquestioned sympathy and financial support. The battle cry of this new army of perverts was that aberrant sexual behavior was so common as to be normal. And this varnished fraud has been reinforced and perpetrated on our culture ever since. The Jewish propaganda was designed to hook men into a fantasy world and prevent them from finding true happiness in a traditional marriage. Jews and perverts found common ground in their hatred of the healthy Christian family. And as a result, of their revolutionary warfare. Our society now suffers from dysfunctional families, divorce, pornography, impotence, and a plethora of annoying commercials for the cure, child abuse, sadomasochism, violence, teen pregnancy, STDs, and AIDS. The birth rate has plummeted by 60% since 1960. We did not have these problems when the church had an innate revulsion and swift adjudication towards the abnormally lewd and lascivious, towards those who slander the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Left-wing liberals think God's law was imposed upon the land to perpetrate an unjust status quo. But their hypocrisy is such that they wish to impose their immorality upon the land and justify their sins, which can be proven to cause pain and suffering of innocence. Morality is the accumulated wisdom of mankind regarding what is healthy and ultimately fulfilling. Perversion is deviation from what is healthy. Heterosexual Christian morality places sex in the context of love and marriage and family. Homosexual Jewish immorality places sex in the context of lust, hedonism, and carnality. As Masonic revolutionary Giuseppe Mazzini said, "We corrupt in order to rule." That's pretty profound when you think about it. We corrupt in order to rule. Those rich antichrist who have bankrolled the sexual revolution realized they couldn't take control until they destroyed the white Christian American family. This was the main strategy of the Communist Manifesto and the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. The Illuminati used Playboy. They used chemistry in our food and our drugs. And they used musical Pied Pipers to divorce sex from love. There is nothing more destructive to our white Christian society than the separation of sex and love, than the separation of church and hate, which defends the integrity of love and the sacred institution of marriage. Our refusal to tolerate and accept the gay agenda is considered bigotry. But by God, we will hate this abomination forever. We will never surrender to the occult social engineers. We will fight them on every front until they crawl back under the rock from whence they came. But I don't think that's going to happen, because they're on a roll, especially since the last four presidents, including the current fraud, have been one of them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the whole world today is engulfed in rabid, militant Phariseeism. Not only do they believe their own cursed false witness and perversion of Scripture, to wit, God loves everybody, including the reincarnation of Sodom and Gomorrah. Christ died for everybody, including the pedophile cult of rapist priests. And man is a free moral agent to do whatever the hell he wants. But they will try to destroy those of us who preach the law of God. Whenever our site gets ambitious to have a conference of identity preaching and fellowship at some public facility, I guarantee you that the Judeo-Baal priest and homo rabbis will put their names to a petition to have us evicted before we even get started. What do they mean, "I'm not their kind"? I'm just not their kind. And I'm not ashamed to say I hate them. Hate is a family value in our home. Did you ever wonder why during the days of Noah, before the flood, They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. This can't be talking about a normal heterosexual marriage. No, it was the kind of marriages that were so foul, God would wipe them out. I interpret this verse as having to do with the illicit union of race mixers and the other being same-sex marriages. Practitioners of this filthy lifestyle rose to dominance in the days of Noah, becoming the accepted custom and norm throughout the whole antediluvian world, much as it pervades our society today. Race mixers and perverts have something in common. They're both ugly and they both bark. It's been my experience, after years of street activism, that they are snarling, scowling, and pusillanimous haters of truth and righteousness. They have the disposition of hostile pit bulls, and that violent countenance explodes in any public confrontation. They are as vile and nasty as any wild, unclean dog. And for this reason, I've amended my understanding of Matthew 7:6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, to include both race mixers and homosexuals. Why do you think queers strive so viciously to usurp and completely take over churches? It's because they have a concurrent lust for self-confirmation and self-gratification. When a dog is in the house of God, the hallowed ground is soiled. Isn't it ironic that Pastor Elmore read us that email this morning that some church back in Massachusetts is going to have church services once a month for dogs? Matthew 7:6 is not a suggestion. It is a command, and it's serious business of the highest order. And yet the modern churches just do the opposite and vilify the obedient as hate mongers. What part of Matthew 7:6 do these sloppy agape preachers not understand? You can't preach to persons notoriously vile and sinful, being violent and furious persecutors, impudent blasphemers, scandalously impure in their lives and conversations, and therefore compared to dogs. The apostle warns us in Philippians 3:2, beware the dogs, the sodomites. 2 Peter 2:22 elaborates, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For whom of a man is to overcome, of the same is brought into bondage. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. There is little doubt that the mongrel pervert Jews killed Christ. The Sanhedrin condemned Jesus on the night of the eve of his crucifixion, who were riddled with sodomites. The Roman governor who executed Christ was well known as being a sodomite. And sodomy was rife in the Roman army, and as such was highly probable that the soldiers who tortured Christ were sodomites. This is the true meaning of the messianic Psalms 22:16-20, quote, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs, end quote. And in case you're wondering about Jesus forgiving these dogs in Luke 23:34, which the King James Version renders, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, we doubtlessly have an early interpolation of the Textus Receptus, which should otherwise read, as evidenced in diverse manuscripts, Father, forgive them not, for they know what they're doing. And they know what they're doing today and deserve no quarter. I don't want to close this message without hope and assurance that this problem will not be resolved. It will. Their blood, most assuredly, will be upon their filthy persons. Rest assured in God's own words, He will pour out His indignation upon them. He will blow against them the fire of His wrath. We will be delivered. God will send brutal men trained in destroying the enemy. They will be utterly wiped out, and their memory will be lost to history. God has spoken these things for our comfort and direction. Lord, I pray that You have given us the sign of the number 42 as being the time of Jacob's trouble. We certainly have been in trouble for the last 42 years since 1968. And we pray that the tribulation is coming to an end and that we are on the verge of a new day, the day of the Lord, in which You manifest the sons of God and the families of true Israel are restored forever. Amen.